Have you ever had this kind of experience? Can you think of an experience where you think you understood something, but then really came to understand it? Like you saw something at first, but then saw it again with clear eyes and it changed everything. Romantic comedies are made of this kind of thing. Boy meets girl, boy falls head over heels for girl, but girl doesn't even see him yet as anything but a servant or a neighbor or a coworker or the dreaded friend. But by the end, the girl's eyes are opened, they're in love, and they end the movie on a park bench in London eating strawberries. She has the experience of seeing partly and then seeing clearly. And that's our theme for today, especially in our faith. The experience of seeing partly and then seeing fully. For me, forget the park bench strawberries. I think of pizza. Now, I thought I knew what pizza was all about. I'd had a lot of pizza in my life, but then I went to Naples, Italy, and had pizza. They literally invented pizza. It changed my life, at least my pizza life. I saw pizza somewhat, but then I saw it clearly. And now, yes, for the record, for you romantics out there, pizza is love. And Naples pizza is Jenny. So you can figure all that out. I can actually think of plenty of examples of this sort of thing once I start thinking about it. I'd seen a picture of a mountain, but I'll never forget the first time I laid eyes on Colorado. The first time I saw Michelangelo's David in person. Standing on the rim of the Grand Canyon, whereas only before I'd seen pictures. Pictures just don't replace an encounter with the real thing. Back in high school, I got to go to a picnic where there were several professional athletes in attendance. One of them was Ed Jones, who played for the Dallas Cowboys. He was like 6'9". They nicknamed him Too Tall. He was Ed Too Tall Jones. I'd seen him play on TV plenty of times. Everyone had. He was famous. After lunch, I walked over to the trash can to throw my plate and my cup away. And just at the moment that I did, just right at that moment, someone else happened to be throwing theirs away at the same moment. There was another place tossed from what I noticed was a very large hand. And my eyes followed upward through a very long arm, up to a very large head sitting on top of a very tall body. It was Too Tall Jones standing there right in front of me in the flesh. I'd seen him in two dimensions on our little television, but now I saw him with my own eyes. I saw him clearly. Oh boy, he was big. The experience reminds me of how St. Paul describes our relationship with Christ. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we shall see face to face. Or in the case of Too Tall Jones, face to elbow. The experience, this kind of experience, is lived in the Gospel of Mark by a blind man healed by Jesus. Jesus touches his eyes and asks him, "Can you see?" And he says, "Partly. I see people, but they look like trees walking around." He could see partly. And then Jesus touches his eyes again, and then after that, he could see everything clearly. There's no explanation given for why this healing happened in two steps. But it seems pretty clear that this experience of seeing partly and then seeing clearly explains what happens next in the gospel story and how a whole lot of us come to our faith. It's about halfway through the gospel now, chapter 8. The disciples have been with Jesus for a long time. They've heard him teach. They've seen him do many amazing things, including healing a lot of people. It's at this point that Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" In other words, when you look at me, what do you see? Peter speaks for the group, "You are the Christ." That's what Peter saw when he looked at Jesus. It's pretty remarkable that he would be able to say this. Christ is the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. Messiah means anointed by God, the chosen one. You are the one we've been waiting for. You are God's chosen one to deliver us, to save us, to redeem us, to set the world right. Jesus asked the important question, "Who do you say that I am?" When Peter confessed, "You are the Christ," he said a remarkable thing. He gave the answer, I hope with all my heart, that you can give and will give to the question, "Who do you say Jesus is?" For those of you who are older children and youth, this question is now the most important question in your life. More than what is the derivative of a negative sine equation, more than how long was the Hundred Years' War, more than how big is the Grand Canyon. Who do you say Jesus is? Peter wasn't much older than you when he had this question in front of him, like literally right in front of him. We think of Peter maybe like as an old man, but like the other disciples here, he was probably just a teenager, maybe in his early 20s, when he confessed, "You are the Christ." This was the most important question in his life and in yours. And we're all here to pray for you and help you respond to this question. Your ministers, your teachers, your parents, we're all here and we're all praying for you because we're still on the same journey. It didn't end for us when we were baptized. It was just beginning for us too at whatever age we were baptized, at 10 or 12 or 20 or even older. There's no age limit to confessing faith in Christ and being baptized. Peter said a remarkable thing when he said, "You are the Christ." We all do, every time we make the same confession of our faith. When Peter said this, he could see. But what happens next shows us that he didn't yet see clearly. His faith had begun, but it wasn't yet full. He didn't see clearly yet all there was to see. Peter could see, but only dimly. He knew that Jesus was the Messiah, but he didn't understand what that would mean for Jesus and for his followers. He knew God is love, but he didn't know that God's love is crucified love. He didn't know that the world would reject him and crucify him and try to silence or kill everyone who followed him. All he knew so far was that Jesus was pretty great, and being a disciple was pretty great. People were getting healed, the crowds were getting bigger, Jesus talked about God in a way that made everyone feel like they knew God closer than they ever thought was possible. There were warm feelings all around, and Peter loved being with Jesus. But he couldn't yet see what he couldn't yet see. And so Jesus tries to help him see. He began to teach Peter and the disciples that the Son of Man, that was Jesus' favorite term for himself, the Son of Man must suffer and be rejected and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. And he said this plainly. And it's important that we say this plainly as well, because this is the heart of what it meant for him to be Christ and what it means for us to be Christian. Without the cross, we might see Jesus, but we only see partly. And without the cross, we might see what it means to be Christian, but we still only see dimly. I want to particularly speak to those who have not yet made a decision to follow Christ, or those who in this Lenten season are praying about being baptized in the Easter season to come. You are very special to us. You are very special to God. We want to walk with you every step of the way, and we want to pray with you as you respond to God's call on your life and celebrate with you at every point. And as you see with your own eyes of faith that God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. What we want you to be able to see is that God is love. And God loves you fully, completely, and passionately. Your life is a gift from God. You are a gift from God in all your uniqueness, your personality, your quirkiness, your very being. You are a gift. You may not see yourself like that all the time. And sometimes we have a hard time seeing ourselves that way. But God sees you like that. And we see you like that. The Bible word for gift is the same root word as the word for grace. And you are a grace. And God loves you not for anything you have done or can do or will do. You're not capable of loving God in a way that earns God's love. It's a gift. It's a grace. And so we don't earn God's love. We don't do anything to deserve it. It's a gift given to us to be received. Being a Christian is about an encounter with God's love in Christ. I had that encounter when I was in elementary school. Did I see everything about Christ totally clearly? Of course not. But something changed in me, and I can't even remember where or why it changed. It may have been a church camp or a Sunday school lesson. Maybe my pastor said something in the sermon that made the light bulb come on for me. Like I saw church and Jesus for a long time as something my parents did and took me to, but then I saw it all in a way like I'd not seen it before, like it became personal. And that's when I prayed to God, and I met with the pastor, and soon after, I was baptized. I think growing up in church helps us see, for those of us who are fortunate enough to grow up in church. We learn Bible stories, we sing songs about God. Some are very serious, some are funny and lighthearted. We learn some things about what we're supposed to do, and we learn what we're not supposed to do. And we learn to ask forgiveness when we do what we've learned we're not supposed to do. And we learn how to give forgiveness when others do to us what they're not supposed to do. We learn stories about Jesus, and we join with others in the acts of the church, like celebrating baptisms and communion and honoring Lent and Maundy Thursday, and sitting in the pitch black darkness of Good Friday, and as we do, we learn to see. But there comes a point when we've seen what we can see with our own eyes. We might have a lot of faith. We might understand a lot and be able to give lots of answers to Bible questions, or maybe not, and we still have more questions than we have answers. But there comes a point when Christianity is about more than what we do or see or understand. It's a gift. This is a grace. It's an encounter with the risen Christ by the Holy Spirit. And when we have that encounter, what we have seen dimly, it's like we see now more clearly. To see Jesus as a remarkable person is to see him, but not yet see everything there is to see. And that's where Peter was. To see everything with clearer eyes is to see Christ crucified and resurrected and with us now. It is to see that you don't possess your own life. Your life doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God, and you want it that way. It's to see that even if you gained everything in the whole world, it would not be enough. It could not be enough to purchase, to trade for God's love. God's love is an immeasurable gift. And sometimes it's going to mean faithful following and courage when people around you aren't always going to understand why you follow Christ and how it makes a difference in your life. It is to see God's glory even through darkness and discouragement. It is to have hope even in those times when you despair. And it is to know how God loves you even when you have a hard time loving yourself. This is the gift of grace in Christ. Professing faith in Christ is like saying, God, I see you, and I want to keep my eyes on you for the rest of my life, and I want others to see you in me. When a person makes a profession of faith in Christ, they're saying, God, I see you in Jesus Christ. For the rest of my life, help me see you more and more clearly. God, I believe. Help my unbelief. God, I want to follow Christ. Help me follow Christ with everything. God, I know you love me. Help me love others as you love them. God, this is a big decision, and I'm kind of nervous, but I trust you. And when I'm baptized and I lean backwards into the water, I'll remember that it's like I'm putting myself into your hands. And that's where I want to be. This is our prayer for you, for everyone. For you to come to new faith in your life, and for all of us to be renewed in our faith in Christ. This is our prayer for every one of us, wherever we are on the journey with Christ. May God open the eyes of our faith and open our hearts to receive the gift of God's love in Jesus Christ.